for that. May God grant us His grace in that secret place with Him. Thank you, choir. That was beautiful. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 23. Before the Lord's table this evening, I'd like to just take a few moments and just note a principle in the life of David. We find in chapter 21 and chapter 22 that David has a meltdown as far as his attitude, or attitudes I should say. And that led to some activity that was certainly not part of his normal discipline. And here in chapter 23 we find a turnaround in the life of David. He gets back on track. And I'm thankful for that, that when you and I from time to time have wobbles, we wobble spiritually, have a meltdown, call it what you want, but I think you know what I mean. And if you haven't had one of late, you will. And if you've had 10 already, we will have another 100. And I'm so thankful that God allowed a man of God by the name of David, man after God's own heart, to have a little bit of a session in his life where he, I could say, he acted very unspiritual, to say the least. Lied, acted like a madman, lived as if he was a heathen that had no hope, but God turned him around. I'm thankful for that. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 to 3, the Bible reads, "Then they told David, saying, Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. And David's men said unto him, Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would indeed prepare our hearts for your table this evening. Lord God, we're so thankful for that quiet place found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And as we desire to draw near to our Savior, Lord God, I pray that you would draw nigh to us. Teach us from your word. Prepare our hearts for your table this evening, that we might remember with godliness and holiness your body that was broken and your blood that was shed on our behalf. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. In chapter 22, we have the destruction of Ahimelech, his 85 priests and their families. And as we move into chapter 3, shortly before we reach chapter 23, we find that David comes to his senses. I'd like to preach a message this evening titled, Dual Battles. Dual Battles. At the end of chapter 22, we find that one of Ahimelech's sons, named Abiathar, the Bible teaches us in verse 20, fled after David. Now, why he would pursue David, I don't know. He would have known that David was responsible for the death of his family and the death of Ahimelech. And the Bible says in verse 22, "And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul. When David saw Abiathar, his conscience was pricked. And he knew that something bad has come of his activities. And his mind went back to that time that he spoke to Ahimelech, and there was Doeg the Edomite, and he just knew in his heart of hearts that he would not get away with what he had done that was deceitful and dishonest. So the conscience was alive and well in the heart of David. Brethren, for you and I to come back to that point of usefulness in the work of God, it all begins by listening to our conscience. Our conscience is connected to God's verdict on what is right and wrong. And David said to Abiathar, I knew it. I knew it. I shouldn't have gone in. I shouldn't have done what I had done before Ahimelech. And Doeg has told the king. His conscience is pricked. He responds to the convicting work of the conscience. I'm thankful for that inner witness in my heart. And it would do us well, brethren, this evening, if we are to respond biblically to mistakes that we have made, we need to listen to the voice of the conscience. This is how we get saved. It was those individuals there on the day of Pentecost, the Bible teaches us, they were pricked in their conscience, Acts chapter 2, verse 37. And they said, what must we do to be saved? David's conscience was affected. He listened to the voice of his conscience. And may God help us this evening as Bible-believing Christians to take note of the voice of the conscience, directing us towards what is right and convicting us of that which is wrong. And this is a valuable aspect of David's restoration. Bear in mind, this is his turning point. This is his turning point. He listened to the voice of conscience. Then also note then verse 22, he went on to say, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. He takes responsibility for the 85 priests and those that were killed because of his deceitfulness and dishonesty. He takes responsibility for what has taken place. He doesn't blame Saul. He could have blamed Saul. He could have said, Abiathar, if it wasn't for King Saul, tried to kill me and I'm innocent, I wouldn't have gone into the temple, and I would not have brought about this situation. It is King Saul's fault. Doesn't say that. He takes responsibility for the wrong that he has done. And brethren, this evening, if we are to find restoration and be restored to God's perfect will and be found useful in the hand of Almighty once again, when you and I have a wobble session, and that leads us to do things that we would not normally do, like lie or be deceitful or act as if we're mad, not that a Christian would do any of the above. This is the man after God's own heart. This is a man that knew God. Abraham was known as a man that was the friend of God. Moses was known as a man that knew God face to face. This is the man of God where of which we are told this is God's man. This is a man after God's own heart. He lies, he is deceitful, and he acts like a madman. And he seeks refuge from those that are in opposition to his people and the cause of God Almighty. And the restoration takes place in this man's heart because he takes responsibility for his actions. He said, it's all my fault. It's all my fault. His lives have been lost because of my foolishness. Boy, we're so good at blaming everybody else, aren't we? It all began in the Garden of Eden, where Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. And that poor serpent, who could the serpent blame? Blame shifting. Cain slew Abel and said, am I my brother's keeper? Is that my responsibility? Brethren, if we are to find restoration in times that we waver a little spiritually, we must listen to the voice of conscience and take responsibility for the effects of our wrong choices. And note then, verse 22, a spirit of humility. He demonstrates humility as he receives the news. He said, I have given occasion for the death of all these individuals in my father's house. We see a man that takes responsibility for his actions. And Christian, this evening, may God help us to take responsibility for our actions. We're quick to blame everybody else and to blame our circumstances, but brethren, you and I have a personal responsibility to do what is right. No matter how we might be treated or mistreated. And David takes responsibility for his actions. He does so with a spirit of humility, and that's very, very important. In Proverbs 22:4, the Bible reads that by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. God gives grace to the humble, but God resists the proud. God gives us all humbling agents, what I call a humbling agent. We all have one. Let's allow him to do his job. Amen? That God might mold us and reshape us into the child of God that might reflect his glory in a greater way. I see humility in the life of David. I see responsibility in the life of David. I see a man who listened to his conscience. And then in verse number 23, David promises Abiathar protection. He said, abide thou with me, he said. I'll look after you, he said. With me you will be safe. Now, bear in mind, David is still hunted down by who? Saul. And he said to Abiathar, stick around with me, pal, and you'll be safe. Think about it. Now, how do you think Abiathar felt? This is the man that was responsible for the killing of his family and the killing of 85 innocent priests. And this man said to him, I'm going to look after you, pal. But yet we find that Abiathar gives David a second chance. In fact, the name Abiathar means abundance. And he certainly had abundance of grace and mercy to even go and see David in the first place. David greatly lamented the calamity. And he took responsibility for what had happened. And he exercises a spirit of humility here before Abiathar. He could have blamed King Saul. He said, it's all Saul's fault, you know. All I tried to do was to help him and serve him, and I've done so to this day, and he has just been jealous and envious concerning me, and he's been trying to kill me, and it's just not my fault. But that wasn't David's attitude. He took responsibility for the wrong in his own life. Humility, responsibility. Listen to the voice of conscience. And here we find, by offering protection for Abiathar, he at least just tries to show a token of good towards an individual that he has no doubt hurt with the loss of his loved ones and innocent lives. So he demonstrates a token of good, and he demonstrates that he is truly repentant. He takes responsibility and he exercises humility, and he said to Abiathar, "I will look after you." This is a turning point in the life of David. Up until this point, he has certainly acted out of tune. He's acted very strangely. And my friend, nobody is exempt. Oh, Pastor, you might say, it'll never be me. Well, David acted like a madman. Imagine David acting like a madman. The Bible describes it very clearly. There's not many of God's choicest servants that we find in the Scriptures that acted like a madman like David. But this is the man after God's own heart. Isn't that an amazing thing? And it's a humbling reminder to you and I, as God's people, that we have the same flesh. We have the same flesh, and you are not exempt. I am not exempt from a spiritual meltdown. But thank God that God is the God of the second chance. And God will have us back. But brethren, if we are to come back to the Lord and come back to a point of productivity, then you and I, as God's people, need to listen to the voice of the conscience, and we need to take responsibility for the wrong that we have done. We need to do so with a heart of humility, and we need to do what we can to show a token of good, especially to those that we've possibly hurt. And upon that affirmation of protection for Abiathar, the Bible teaches us in verse 23 that David was told of the Philistines. The Philistines fight against the city of Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. So while David laments over the effects of his wrong choices, he is informed that the Philistines have attacked Keilah. The word Keilah means an enclosure. It was a city in the lowlands of Judah. And the Philistines have come in, and they've come in to rob the food supplies, the grain, off the threshing floor. The threshing floor was a level piece of ground upon which the harvest was taken and rested upon these threshing floors. And then the wheat, for example, the barley was processed from these threshing floors. And the Philistines have come in to rob this city of all of their food supplies. And David hears of this news. And in light of that, it's interesting that in verse number 2, the Bible reads, David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Lord, what shall I go and smite these Philistines?" Now think about it for a moment. David had his own problems, had he not? David didn't need this. He had his own battles to fight. Saul is still trying to kill him. And he's bearing the guilt of the death of all of these innocent lives. And he's got the responsibility of some 600 men by this point. He began with 400 there in chapter 22, and we'll see in the chapters to come that he's up to 600. He attracted another 200 individuals that were distressed and were in debt and were discontented. So David had his own battle, but here he hears news concerning the Philistines have come in and they've attacked Keilah. And they're robbing them of all of their food supplies. Now David didn't need this. Had his own struggles personally to battle with. And may I submit to you here in verse number 2, a mark of a man of God that has certainly gotten some things right with the Lord. Upon hearing this news, he takes it to prayer and he said to the good Lord, Lord, shall I go up and smite the Philistines? He consulted his God. Now, I wish he had done that back in chapter 21 and chapter 22. But God does a work in his heart and he's restored, and here we find he hears news of the need of these people that are being attacked by the Philistines, and he doesn't just make an executive decision. He says, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord responded in verse number 2 by saying, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. So David prays about it and said, Lord, what do you think I should do? And I'm, you know, I would have an inkling that maybe for a split second at least, David would be thinking, I hope the Lord just tells me, just take care of your own problems. And if you've got enough problems, son, I'll get somebody else to deliver Keilah. Maybe that crossed his mind. Maybe not. But God said to David, you go and you deliver the people of Keilah from the Philistines. And the main point I'd like to stress this evening is this. My friend, even though we all have personal struggles and battles, but the battle with the Philistines still rages. Even though we might be fighting our own battles, dual battles is the norm in the Christian life. And I'm afraid that many of God's people are just so obsessed with their own hang-ups and their own problems, they lose sight that there's a bigger picture out there, and there's the Philistines, the world, and the flesh, and the devil that is raging and out to destroy the work of God. And brethren, this evening, listen to me. We are involved in a spiritual warfare. And may I submit to you this evening, God has called us all to fight a dual battle. A dual battle. Did you get that? A dual battle. At the same time, we battle in our own little vineyard and we've got our own little problems. At the same time, there are Philistines out there that need to be slain. And the problem is with the average Christian, he's so obsessed and concerned about his petty little world and his little hang-up, his little sore nose, and yet the Philistines having a heyday there in Keilah. But I don't see this in the man of God. He could have said, now, Lord, now come on. I have my own problems. Lord, Saul is still trying to kill me. I've got 600 men and they've all got problems. But Lord, I've got the burden of the blood of all of these people on my mind. Give me a break. I could have said all the above. And brethren, this evening, there's a valuable lesson for us all. This evening. That is that we're called upon to fight a dual battle. But the problem with the average Christian is that they only fight one or the other. That's the problem. See, David understood his calling. His calling was to be a man of war, to fight on the behalf of God's people. He understood his calling. That's why he prayed about it. That's why he said to the good Lord, Lord, shall I go and smite these Philistines? He understood that was his calling from Almighty God. But where was Saul in all of this? Where is Saul? Where is Saul? He's nowhere to be seen. Why isn't they told David? David, may I inform you, the Philistines are attacking the city of Keilah. If I was David, I would have liked to have said, God, tell Saul! I'm not king yet! But there's a reason why David was told. Amen? Where's Saul? The life of Saul reveals to us that we can become so consumed with fighting our own battles that we neglect that battle without. We get so obsessed with our own little problem that we neglect the fact that the Philistines are raging. Saul is obsessed with his own problems. Now, David could have been one of the same. But even though he had his own struggles, and even though he was bearing all this guilt, and even though he had all of these individuals to lead, and even though the king of Israel was out to kill him, he takes on the responsibility of Abiathar, and he hears news concerning the Philistines attacking Keilah, and robbing their food supplies off the threshing floors. And he said to the Lord, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And God said, go and smite the Philistines. David reveals to us the responsibility for you and I to battle on two fronts at the same time. All of us have our personal struggles, our personal battles, do we not? You have pressures. I have pressures. We all do. Talk to me. We all do. You have personal battles that you bear. I have personal battles that I bear. But at the same time, there's the Philistines out there, the world, the flesh, and the devil that are making ground on the work of God. And I'm afraid the average Christian is so obsessed with their own little world at the expense of Keilah. And we allow Keilah to be destroyed and subdued with no aid because we're just too busy. Oh, look, I've got my own problems. I have people say that to me all the time. Oh, Pastor, I've got my own problems. Just leave me alone. Very sad, isn't it? Well, what's new under the sun? I've got my own problems too. And so do you. Do you think you're the only one? You think you are, but you're not. And the problem is that we think that our problems are bigger than anybody else's problem. But may I submit to you, it might not be. You could be a whole lot worse off. Yeah. Amen. You can say amen. Oh, the pastor, you don't realize and the pressures and the stress that I'm under. Brethren, God's allowed in your life. And God needs to bring you down before he can bring you up. This David has acted like a madman. A liar, a cheat. And God had to do a work in his life to get him to that place of productivity. We have all of these believers around that say, oh, Pastor, I've got all these problems. Well, welcome to the real world. Pastor, you don't sound very merciful. Well, not my gift. I have issues in my life. I have burdens that I bear as a husband, as a father. Don't we all? But by God's grace, I'm going to try to live out my life fighting on two battlefronts. And that's what David did. Now, his men were excited about the fact. Does that surprise you? Verse number 3, the men said, David, we're afraid. We don't really want to be involved here. So David responds in verse number 4. He goes to prayer once again. David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, and I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. So David prays once again, and this is very, very significant when you consider in chapter 21 and chapter 22, we don't read of David praying. We don't read of David consulting the Lord. But he takes matters into his own hands, and therefore he makes a fool of himself, and he becomes the medium by which many innocent lives are killed. But here he prays, and he prays again. And he chooses to obey the voice of God. And he chooses to lead God's people, even though they were afraid. So note then, verse number 5, so David and his men went to Keilah. These were the men that were afraid. He prays again back in verse number 4, and God said, go down to Keilah, I'll deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And David said, that's good enough for me, Lord. So he assembles his men, they went down to Keilah, they fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. God gives a great victory to a man of God that took responsibility for his actions, was humble enough to admit, I've done wrong, and was gracious enough to show a token of good to another. And once again, he became useful in the hand of Almighty God. And God restores him back to effective service. And even though David had all of these problems in his own personal life, he was prepared still to continue the battle in the main warfare at hand. David and his mighty men go into battle at Keilah against the Philistines, and God gives them a great victory. And my friend, this is a valuable lesson for us all this evening. We are called upon to fight a dual battle. Are you listening to me? A dual battle. We need to be careful lest we become so consumed with our own petty little problem. It might be pretty big. To you, it's big. To us personally, our problem is the biggest problem. That's just how it is. We're selfish. You know that. We just don't like to admit it. We're selfish. But David understood, I've got my own struggles, I've got my own battles, I've got the king of Israel trying to kill me, I've got 600 men that are just draining, with a capital G, and I bear the burden of all of these lives that have been killed that are innocent. He's got all this guilt, he's got all this pressure in his brain. But yet he understood that he was involved in a dual battle. And my friend, this evening, we must not lose sight of that. God in his providence allows personal trials into our lives, does he not? Does he not? At the same time, we need to combat the Philistines. Most ignore the second for the first. We get so wrapped up in our own battlefield that we ignore the main battlefield. Our calling, what God has called us to do. And it's not a matter of forsaking one for the other. The issue is we are involved in a dual warfare. That's my lesson this evening. Very simple. But that's what the Spirit of God gave me for this evening. We're involved in a dual battle. The problem with the average Christian, he's so obsessed or she is so obsessed with what's happening in their life at the expense of the greater work. And that might be where you're at. And I'd like to encourage you this evening, come out of that. Come out of that. We all have problems. We all have battles. All of us have issues and pressures. But brethren, at the same time, there's a battle raging in Keilah. And God needs you to go down and deliver God's people from the hand of the enemy. There are people lost in sin, on their way to hell, in need of a Savior. You need to go down to Keilah and rescue some. A dual battle. That's what God's called us to. It's a battle on two fronts. And God will battle on our behalf, and God will give the victory in both areas. And He does in the life of David. And let me encourage you this evening, if you find yourself consumed with your own issues, let me encourage you to just lift up your eyes and look on the fields that are white under harvest. And why not come to the Lord this evening and say, "Good Lord, help me to battle on two fronts this evening. Forgive me for just being consumed with what's happening in my life, and help me to think of others, those people there in Keilah, that need to be delivered, that need your salvation." May God bless His word to our hearts this evening. Every head bowed, every eye closed.